Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just pray. Pray there's going to be great lessons over the next, well, I don't know how long it take. Could take a year to get through it. I don't know. But there's so many great lessons in this book, in 1 Corinthians. And we want the Lord to teach us something in every message that we hear through it, don't we? Because the idea is that the Word of God's got to change us. We got, like the Corinthian church, they had a lot going on. They had a letter written to them about all the things that was going on, and they changed. Because the Word has to take effect in your life. And there could be things that we're going to go through that talks directly to you. But like the Corinthian church, if it is, you've got to put it right and walk on. Because the goal's heaven, isn't it? That's the goal. The goal is to get the glory and forever be with the Lord. God forbid that any of us fall short of it. So let's pray. Hallelujah, Lord. Father, we thank you that we're able, Lord, to come round your word tonight. Dear Lord, I pray you give us understanding why you want us to learn these things, my Lord. That, Lord, that don't let us just sit here, my God, and just taking another message. But Lord, let your words minister to us, to speak to us, Lord, to challenge us, to change us, Lord, that you'll be able to mould us into the men and women of God you want us to be. In the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So we're going to be going through 1 Corinthians. Now, you've got to understand, before this church, when you read about this church, as we go through 1 Corinthians, you'll be thinking to yourself, how can these people be called Christians? Because the goings on, and we'll go through some of them later on, the goings on, you think, no way. No way. You wouldn't fellowship there. You see, and I just want to read verse 5 out, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 5. It says this, it says, that you were enriched in everything by him, in all utterance and all knowledge, and even the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you may not come short with no gift. Now that church, that means there, when he's given them all utterance, that means you'll turn up to this church in Corinth, and you would hear a good word preached. You'd hear a fantastic word preached. It was given to them to preach it. But the trouble is with the Corinthian church, they could have had the best preachers in Greece. But the word of God never was taking effect in their life. That was the trouble. Because listen, we could be in danger of that, wouldn't we? We could come here and we could have good words spoke week after week after week. But if we're not allowing it to take effect, then what's the difference? What's the difference by the Corinthian church? Because the word of God has got to affect us. It's got to change us. So Paul, he's writing to this church. And listen, he was spent a year and a half with these. Before he wrote this letter, it was a year and a half with this church. And we're going to read now. If you've got your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 18. The book of Acts. Chapter 18. So when we get to Acts 18, as we go through it, Paul meets Priscilla and Aquila of Corinth and meets them. He's there for a while, but when we get to Acts chapter 18 and verse 9, it says, now the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision by night. Do not be afraid, but speak and do not keep silent. For I am with you, and no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city. And he continued there for a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Now Paul must have been in Corinth, because Corinth itself was a very immoral, very pagan city. It's full of corruption. Paul's there preaching the gospel. He must have been thinking to himself, what's the point of staying here? All this is going on around me. All this corruption, all this filth and rubbish. What am I doing here? What am I doing here? And then the Lord spoke to Paul and said, do not be afraid, Paul. Speak and don't keep silent. This is before the Corinthian church formed. This is before Paul planted a church. God's told him, look, I've got many people in this city. Go and preach the word. Go and tell them the gospel. And when I read that, I thought, Lord, like when we go out and things like that, I thought, Lord, I'd like to hear a poor word. Have you got a vision? Like, I don't know, where's the mission, Sheerness, isn't it, on the island? East Church. Who knows if God's got many people on East Church, in East Church? We don't know that, do we? But we've got to go with expectation, surely, that God's going to do a work and move. Listen, he might not move. But we've got to go and go for it, haven't we? And listen, we can't be disheartened when things don't happen. Paul went plenty of places and things didn't go for him. It ain't about us. It's about the Lord. It's about lost souls. And I thought, Lord, I like to go in the positive. When I'm going out and doing things, Lord, help me in the frame of mind to have the positive outlook on things. Listen, there's going to be disappointments with us, aren't they? We're going to have disappointing times. I mean, when we went down to Earth Green last year, listen, I just thought, well, Lord, let's see what you can do. See what you're going to do. But it's the Lord's work. It ain't about us. Listen, we've had plenty of outreaches where nothing's happened, and we've had things where loads of people got saved. We had Ashford last year. They was queuing up, weren't they? They was queuing up to get prayer and give their life to the Lord. But go with the expectation. Go, Lord, well, I'm going. Lord, let me see your work, Lord. Because it ain't me and you add to the church daily. God adds to his church. God knows who he's got. We're in East Church at the minute. God knows who he's there. There's someone there while we've got outreach on for. Amen. There's someone there. Listen, we've had outreaches where one or two's got saved. And one or two come to this church. Whether it's for one or two the Lord's got it for, or 500, it's the work of the Lord. That's what I expected. You know, Paul stayed there a year and 6 months and started the church. And we know this was about AD 52, Paul would have started this church. Because when you get down to verse 12, it's in Acts 18, it says, when Galileo was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews with one accord rose up against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, this fellow persuades men to worship gods contrary to our law. That man Galileo, and history proves this, they can only be in the proconsul like a ruler for 1 year. And in history, that 1 year was in AD 52. So we know Paul planted the Corinthian church in AD 52. That's 22 years after Christ went to the cross. Or 20 years after he went to the cross. So we know the date that Paul read it. That where Paul was here. But then Paul goes from here. And we know that Acts had to be written after AD 52 because he was there. And before AD 64 because that's when he died. So we can prove when the New Testament, when the books were written. That had to be before he died, obviously, before AD 64. So Paul's established a church here. Now, Paul was there a year and 6 months. Now, when you read other letters, like the Thessalonians and things like that, he was there 30 days and a couple of months, turned about in times. And setting things out, some churches, they just got it and cracked on. But there's churches like Corinth that don't. Not every church is the same. Each of us ain't the same. You've got brothers or sisters that just seem to steamroll forward and go for it, and other brothers and sisters just struggle and hang back and struggle in things. But we're not all the same. But it's the same God that works in all and through all. It's the same God. And listen, and when we're going to learn this through Corinthians, that we serve such a God of grace and a God of mercy and a God of forgiveness, because listen, if he'd done a work with this group of people, he's got no problem doing the work with me and you. He's so full of grace and mercy. And it don't matter how many times you fall down or you slip up, God's willing to get hold of you, dust you off and go, go on, go again. Thank you, Lord. Go again, it sends you off again. You see, so Paul's here. And in Acts 19, he's at Ephesus where he writes this letter. So he's here and he's writing this letter. Now, this letter was actually 1 Corinthians was the second letter. This ain't the first time he read to him. In 1 Corinthians 5:9 it says, I wrote to you before in my epistle not to keep company with immoral people. Now, if he wrote to you before, that means he had to write to you before this letter. So he's already addressed something once in the church. There's actually 4 letters written to the Corinthian church. We've only got 2. We've got 2 letters written that we have in the Bible. We know that Paul read it with his own hand. 1 Corinthians 1:1 and 16:21, he actually says, I writ these things with my own hand. So the Apostle Paul's writ this himself. You know, he loves this church. He wants to see him go on. And I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians 3:1-3. Because I think this is important. This is when I finally understood in my own life how God is so forgiving. And it really shows that I don't know as much as I thought I knew. It says in 1 Corinthians 3:1-3, it says, and I, brethren, cannot speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, that means fleshly, as to babes in Christ. I've fed you with milk and not of solid food. For until now you were not yet able to receive it, and even now you are still not yet able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? That really showed me, because a few years ago, I would write you off in a second. If you weren't walking right with the Lord, you was missing a lot of church, I'd go, yeah, they backslid. They didn't last long. But it just showed me in this how graceful God is. Because we look at that church and all what they're doing, how carnal and fleshly they was. What did God call them? What did Paul call them? What did he call them? He said, they're babes in Christ. They're part of the church of God.
Amen.
Right? We ain't got no right to write one another off. Now, if there's a sin issue going on, it's got to be addressed. But we can't write one another off. And, you know, the Bible says, don't he say in Samuel? I think it's Samuel, that God doesn't see how man sees. For man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. That's where God looks at. And the trouble with me and you, we're too busy looking at the outward appearance. They're doing this wrong, they're doing that wrong. This one said this, that one said that. So what? Ain't about it. It's what God's doing the work. And I think we can look. Paul might be calling them carnal, but you know the trouble is? Me and you are carnal for looking at them that way. Me and you are fleshly for looking that way. Because we're not seeing how God wants us to see. Sometimes we're too quick to pick people up on something. Instead of letting it go and saying, look, Lord, help me to, in that matter, let this go and help them to go on. Because if Paul could see those, and that was it. He couldn't speak to them as spiritual. Your babes in Christ. He said, look, how can I speak to you as spiritual? You're fleshly. And there have been plenty of times in mine and your walk where we've not been spiritual. There's plenty of times I've walked in here and ain't felt spiritual at all. In fact, driving here, the spiritual went out the window driving here. But listen, it's how God sees. It's what God sees. God sees the end picture, doesn't he? You see, Paul could see that. You see, God sees, and in God's view, he sees that where we're saved, he sees all what we're going to go through. And then he sees the end result. Paul sees the end result. Look, you're fleshly here. But if you put it right, this is all going to end up right here. But the trouble is, what I don't need, and I know you don't need this. When you're down, you don't want other people to stick the boot in, do you? You don't want your brothers or sisters in Christ getting around you, pulling you down, tearing you down, where you're so low that you think, oh, I just can't push up no more. I can't go on. You want your brothers or sisters to get round you. Yeah, I've been acting fleshly. I've been acting stupid. But to encourage you to go on and walk on in Christ. That's what we do need. You see, look, they're the church of God. And listen, you struggle. When you read this, you really think, Lord, you really are graceful and merciful. Because you have to try and put yourself in Paul's shoes. How much Paul loved these people and how much God loved these people. You know, in a minute, convention's coming up. Believe me, it's like the Wild West. It's like cowboy town when a convention comes up. You think, listen, it's just like, you look at it and think, Lord, it's only you could do this sort of work. It's only you can have brothers and sisters that are faithful every year to go on and put the convention on and do the work. Because God, they see the end result. How many's been saved? How many's going on? You see, me and you, we can't see the work that the Lord's doing. When the Lord builds, he always sets the foundation first, doesn't he? The foundation's got to be right. And when you dig a foundation on a house, a foundation's not like this. The foundation goes a few metres deep. So he digs down first. Before he builds up and does anything, he digs down and builds down, sets you on a firm foundation, bring you lower and lower and lower, so you can stand. But the trouble is, me and you don't see that. And let's be honest, a lot of the time, the only time we see one another is in here. So through the week, how can you see the work that the Lord's doing in someone's life? We can't be quick to rip down. We've got to build up. Because that's what it's about, building one another up, encouraging one another. We're in a race. Let's spur one another along and get to the finish line. That's what we've got to do. Listen, I don't mean if someone comes to you, you've got a sin issue going on, and they say, look, you're doing this wrong, brother, sister, put it right. The Corinthian church put it right. The idea is, if something's pointed out that we're wrong in, we've got to put it right. Because it's pride that makes us not to put things right. But the trouble is with this church, and I think today is the same, is that the culture in Corinth was impacting the church, and the church weren't impacting Corinth. That was the trouble. And it's the same today. Culture, the world impacts the church more than the church is impacting the culture. Now you see that with gorgeous churches, you see that with travelling churches. You see it, it's all around. And it's not hard to see. You ain't pointing at the obvious, but it's there. We've got to impact the world around us. That's what we have. We ain't got to worry about what people think of me and you, whether they like us or not. We're not in a popularity contest. Being a Christian, you're never going to be popular. Just put that out there now. If you think your best life's going to happen since you've been a Christian, it's going to be lovely, nothing's going to happen again, I'll just tell you now, it's going to go right downhill fast. It's not popular. We're not saved to be popular. We're saved to save souls. We're saved to do the work of the Lord, to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Right? We ain't got to worry about what people think, what you look like, what you've got. Time is short on this earth. Time is short. And what good is it? We build our own kingdoms, our own this, our own that, and neglect the work of the Lord. Because let's be honest, I'd rather be remembered as a man of God who served the Lord than a man who just got a few things left that the children are going to argue over when I'm gone. Rather have a legacy in Christ that's going to last for eternity than something that's only temporary. And listen, let's be honest, 100 years, no one's going to remember us at all. Our time on this earth is done. No one's going to remember us. All what's going to last is what you've done for Christ. And that's what matters. All what we've done for him. Because Christ is the centre of it all. He's the centre. You see, and the battle today, and I've read this online, I couldn't believe how quick our church could fall. You know, many churches today, and this is going on now, they've fallen the women preachers, gay preachers, and now they've got the transgenders as well in the churches. That's in the churches. Don't think it can't happen to us. Do not think it can't happen to us. There's travelling people going that way now. As we speak, there's travelling people going that way now. The Church of England, this is how quick a church can fall. 1994, the Church of England started to ordain women priests. In the year 2000, they started to ordain transgender priests and gay priests. So within 6 years, after having women preachers, women priests, within 6 years, that's what it come down to. 2013, priests could be in a same-sex partnership. And in 2023, last year, the first non-binary priest. So within 30 years, that's how quick something can fall. Well, it means God's called something in his word. Women can't be ministers.
Non-binary.
They don't know what they are, basically. Right?
But neither they call themselves neither male or female.
They don't know what that's how far it's gone. But that's within 30 years. Right? Don't think that can't happen to us. Let's not be so prideful to think that we're travellers and these things can't come into our churches. Listen, you've got gay travellers now, and there's some that are going to transgender. That's happening now, 2024 amongst our people. So do not think that can't happen. Let's not be too prideful to think that can't come into our churches. I know people whose thoughts have changed from 30 years ago, unsaved people, about homosexuality, that their views have changed today. What we'd call old-fashioned travelling people. So let's not think and be prideful to think this can't happen to us. That's why it's so important that we stand upon the word of God. That no matter what comes and goes, no matter if we're threatened with prison or not, for standing upon the word of God, we've got to make a stand. Because it can happen 30 years. That's nothing. That's nothing. We're only a young mission. We're only 30, 40 years old. The Methodist Church, one generation, started to fall. So let's not think we're past it, that we're too good. That because we're travelling people, we're a bit wiser than everyone else. We're not gullible. Tell you when you will change. You know, when it's one of your own, when it's one of your own family members, one of your children or your grandchildren come back like it, let's see what your views are then. That's why the truth of the word of God has got to trump what your feelings are. It's the word of God we go by, not how we feel and what goes on about us. No matter how much hurt it causes, how much pain it causes you, we've got to stand upon this.
Amen.
We have to stand upon it. And we will be challenged. Do not think you won't be challenged on it. You will. And listen, if we cave in and go the way what the Church of England have done, has it made them more better or have they gone worse? They've gone worse. It don't make it better. The world don't teach the church morality. The word of God teaches what morality is. It's the word of God. It's this. This is what we live and die by. Let's not be cheap. Let's not think this can't happen. That's why the Bible always tells you, keep watch, look, be alert. Your adversary walks about like a prowling lion, seeking who he may devour. Watchmen, watchmen of the night, on the tower, watch. The attacks are coming. But keep watch, be alert. But the ultimate be alert is this, that Jesus Christ is coming back. How blessed the Bible says that when he returns that he sees his servants doing. That means standing upon this and doing the works of the Lord. Let's not cave in. And listen, it will come. It will come. You see, let's not think all these things are like what we're experiencing today are new. This all went on in Paul's time. This all went on back then. Or in Roman times, this was all the same. Solomon says, there's nothing new under the sun. There's no new sin. There's nothing new. We think it's 2024. They don't know what it was like. Listen, it was like this back then. And they had to deal. Paul dealt with it. How did he deal with it? Did he go up to outside of in Rome with a placard and a stick? No. What changed the culture? What changed the people in Corinth? Jesus Christ changed the people in Corinth. He changed them. And the only thing that's going to change people is Jesus Christ. He's the only person that can do it. We've got the antidote. The world's getting more wickeder, more sinful, more evil. And we've got the hope. We've got the hope of the everlasting gospel. The love of Christ. We're in a world now that's got no hope. They're so corrupt in sin. And we've got Jesus Christ to give them. That's who we've got. You see, Paul's going to correct this church. He's going to talk about disunity, sexual immorality, divorce and remarriage, Christian freedom, spiritual gifts, women's role in worship, and resurrection. That's all he's going to deal with. That's all what was going on in this church. Imagine being the pastor there. And listen, these were so much that they had to correct them on the Lord's table because they was getting drunk before they took it. That's what they was like. They was completely corrupt. What we call corrupt. But yet the Lord doesn't work. You know, the Apostle Paul, it was love the Apostle Paul he writ to this church. He wants to go there again and change them. We can't give up on people. No matter what people have done, me and you cannot give up on them. Listen, they might have offended us. Listen, there's been Christians that have offended me. I will say that. I've been offended by Christians. No, I ain't going to say who it was. Be seen at the back. Right? But I've been offended by Christians. Yeah, I'll just see if they're awake. They are awake. I've been offended. You know what? We have to get over it. We have to get over it. Because I'll tell you this now, in a minute, someone else is going to come along and offend us. Right? That's how it is. Got to get over it. We can't have disunity in here. Because like your lumpet, we're going to be in heaven for eternity with one another. And please, Lord Jesus, if you won't forgive someone because they said something to you, I hope you're next door to them in heaven. And then you've got all eternity with them. Because it's childish, isn't it? It's childish not to talk to someone. The only one that has the right not to talk to anyone is the one that died upon the cross at Calvary. And he's willing to talk to everyone. And we've got to be like him. You see, he understood, because at that time, what they had going on, they had their favourite preacher. I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. I only listen to what Jesus said. You had all these things, but we serve the same God and go the same way. Paul had to address this because what it was, they was having their own little cliques in the church. This little group had their own friends. This little group had their friends. That's not how it's meant to be. We're all one in Christ. We go forward in Christ together. And Paul says this later on in Corinthians. If one weeps, we all weep. If one rejoices, we all rejoice. Because we're all part of the same body. There's no disunity. Paul knows what he's got to write. Do you think it would have been easy for Paul to write this and correct this church? I reckon there would have been a few tears Paul would have written this letter with. And listen, he ain't doing it to be hateful. Because we can think to ourselves, if someone says something to us or comes and tells us what we're doing wrong, they're being hateful to you. It's no such thing. It's because of love. That's what it is. When someone comes to you and they can see something happening in your life and saying, look, this is going on. I can see what way you're going and how this is taking you. It's only love. Thank the Lord for the brothers and sisters that have come to me and said things to me before. See things going on in my life. Because it's to concern for one another. And you've got to have that concern with everyone else in here. We've all got to have that concern. I can't see everything. I don't know what goes on in everyone's life. But you could be close to a brother or sister in here that you know exactly what's going on. And you know that love will tell the truth. If someone's got something going on, or they've got something against someone, love's not sitting there agreeing with them that they're in the right for not talking to someone. Love's going, no, sister, no, brother, you're wrong for doing that. You should be talking to them. I think you should put it right. They might not like you for it, but that's what love does. When my children were younger, I used to tell them off. It weren't because I hated my children. It's because I love my children. I want to see them go on. But we can't take offence. But there's so many lessons. And look, thank the Lord for this book, because what it was, and for me, what I've learned through it, is that we must be prepared to change. We must be prepared to change. And in my own life, I've nearly finished the book in my own studies. And it blessed me to think, Lord, because I've had a lot go on since I've been a Christian. And I thought, no, you look back and you think, Lord, all the things that you've helped me with and helped me to change. And please, Lord, I've got a future in that with you. You can still keep doing more of that. But this church changed. And that's what blessed me about it. The word of God never fell on deaf ears. Paul never writ to them, and that was the end of the Corinthian church. They changed, and I thought, well, Lord, that's hope for me and you, isn't it? Because I can guarantee you this. There's going to be times you're going to walk in here, and there's going to be a message preached in Corinthians, and it's going to talk directly to your life. It's going to speak to you. But be prepared to change. Be prepared to change. And when Paul ended this letter, he ended the letter. He went through all the correction. He told them all the bad news. Told them all what was going on. What's wrong with the church? Put it right. Sort it out. Your meeting's a chaos. Sort all this out. But he ends it with the hope of the resurrection. He ends it with the resurrection. So he tells them all the bad news. He tells them all the bad news. But ends it on the good news. He ends with this, that Jesus Christ is alive. That he's risen. That he didn't die in vain. That he's alive and that he lives forevermore. And not only that, he tells us, and this is, I love the scripture in 1 Corinthians 15. Because it says, this mortality, this old body, is going to put on immortality. That means going to live forever. God forbid I won't look like this forever. I'll look a bit different, but we're going to live forever. And it's a hope, because if someone keeps telling you things that's wrong all the time, you think, oh, I'm getting beat down and beat down. But he answers, oh, look, listen, the resurrection's coming. You're all going to be changed. The twinkling of an eye, look, you're just going to go and death, where's your sting? There ain't no sting for the Christian. And he ends with that. Why? Because there's the hope there. And we don't hope as the world hopes. We ain't hoping like, oh, well, I hope I'll get home tonight. It's a certainty. You know me and you getting resurrected? That's certainty. That one day that trumpet call will come. That Christ returns for his church. And we'll be all changed. That there's going to be a time that we're not going to be no more weeping, no more pain, no more heartache. Be a time of peace. When the Bible says that God's going to wipe every tear away from your eye. That God himself, imagine that, standing before God, and he says, he wipes away every tear. Ain't that hope? Ain't that hope? And listen, you could be in here today. You could have had the worst week of your life. The worst day of your life. But I end it like Paul ended it. The resurrection's coming. Jesus is coming. And God, what the pain you're experiencing today will one day be no more. It'll be no more one day. God's going to take all that heartache, all that pain, all them sleepless nights. And you're going to be in eternity with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What better hope is that? What better is that? And listen, thank the Lord, in one way, we're not like the Corinthian church. But the fear is that we don't get like them. Let's pray.